all truth belongs to God.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
I have with me in the studio Elizabeth Elliot, who is the speaker on our program Gateway to Joy, focusing primarily on reaching women. And we all know Elizabeth Elliot as a conference speaker and as an author. And also Dr. Gary Oliver, who writes the counseling column for our magazine. He is a biblical counselor and psychologist, and rather unusual, has theological training. Gary, do you want to talk about that at all? Just introduce yourself a little bit.
Well, I really, Warren, consider myself a Bible student and a Bible teacher. And the Lord's given me opportunity to add to that training as a psychologist. So I function as a psychologist in a church-related counseling center in the Denver, Colorado area. And I also am a visiting associate professor and teach marriage and family at Denver Seminary.
So then you and Elizabeth basically are doing the same thing, applying the Word of God to the lives of people. And today we'll be talking about what it means to have the Christian mind. Now, on the one hand, there are those who say we should have nothing whatsoever to do with subjects like this. We should just simply read our Bibles, pray, witness, and serve the Lord. And yet, we all do know that we have minds, and we have to use those minds. And the Bible talks about the mind, the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, the carnal mind. And so we're here coming from, I suppose, three different perspectives, but all grounded in the Word of God, to talk about the Christian mind. We are made in the image of God, which I take it means we are intelligent creatures. God has given us a mind to think with and a heart to feel with and a will to decide with. Let me begin with Dr. Gary Oliver. Gary, is the mind really important in the Christian life? Isn't the Christian life basically feelings?
I think the mind is critical. I think, as you mentioned, Warren, that being made in God's image, we have a mind through which we perceive, we take in information. It's where we become aware of the world around us, where we become aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, aware of God speaking to us through His Word, through prayer, through friends. We also do have emotions, and even our emotions, though, to a great degree, are processed as to whether or not we can trust them and the degree to which they are functioning in healthy or unhealthy kinds of ways through our mind. So I think our mind is critical also in terms of the area of Christian maturity, of becoming deep in our walk with Christ.
You're talking about the renewing of the mind.
Yes, not just in terms of the mind as a repository of information, but the ways in which we think. As you said in the introduction, having the mind of Christ, what does that mean?
All right. We hope to get to that conclusion, don't we? I'm going to ask this question, and I warned Elizabeth I was going to ask her this question. Men often hear the statement, well, you men don't think the way we think. Is it true that a woman thinks differently from a man? And would this be true of a Christian woman?
It's always said that women are much more influenced by their emotions than men are. I don't really believe that. And I heard of a psychologist on, I think it was Dr. Dobson's program a couple of years ago, who made a statement that was fascinating to me, and I've thought about it a lot since and run it by a few of my friends. He said that women talk about everything, and men don't talk about much of anything. They tell stories. And I thought, well, that's particularly interesting to me because I have been accused more than once of having a man's mind. In fact, the first person that ever told me that was Jim Elliot when I was a college student. He said, you know, you have a man's mind. And, of course, he was not a male chauvinist pig. Nobody had ever heard of such a thing back then. It was a compliment from Jim because I think he was referring to the fact that I try to think logically and try to bring my emotions under the control of my reason. But I think a lot of women do that. As for the process of thinking, I certainly don't know. I think we need to ask a psychologist if women think differently from men, but certainly women's minds are filled with different kinds of things than men's, generally speaking. I read somewhere that it's very difficult to get women to be interested in selling tires or air conditioning. Women are very interested in certain kinds of careers, mostly those which are prestigious and visible and remuneratory. But whether you can ever really drum up much interest on the part of women in certain kinds of things, I don't know. But nowadays, women's minds are being filled with a lot of feminist doctrine, and I just don't think that men are likely to be very interested in that. So,
how would you distinguish feminist doctrine, quote-unquote, from the Christian approach? Now, this is the major message of Gateway to Joy, actually.
Well, it's one of the things that I do try to help women sort out, because there is no question in my mind that feminism comes straight out of Marxism. And I don't really believe that most Christian women are aware of this, perhaps non-Christians too. But feminism is an attempt to make men and women equal and interchangeable in everything but the reproductive process. As a Christian, I see femininity and masculinity as being loaded with theological significance. So you know I could go on for hours on that subject. Let's not get
I want to drop that in, because it is important. We're made the way we are by God because each is important.
It's interesting. Recently there have been some discoveries by folks in the medical community that the female brain and the male brain is different.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that our brain, at the risk of being simplistic, has two hemispheres, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. And in between those, there's something called the corpus callosum, which are billions of like connecting cords that help the left side and the right side communicate. Well, they've found that women have more connectors between the left hemisphere and right hemisphere. Now, the left side, again, at the risk of simplifying this, the left side tends to deal with areas more like facts and specifics, with more rational, if you will, linear logic. The right side, more spatial concepts. I would maybe balance my checkbook more in the left hemisphere. That'd be more of a left activity, and maybe recognize the face of a loved one in the right side. Men tend to be more lateralized. What that means is they tend to either emphasize the left or the right, whereas women have better communication between the two and tend to be able to use both more readily. And I found that in my work with people, that frequently it's in working with women, there is oftentimes an easier ability to see both sides. And at times, and this isn't true in every situation, but at times men tend to be more strongly this way. Some have even used the phrase hard-headed. I, of course, wouldn't use that being a male, but more left side or right side. And I think some of the differences, and I agree there are very clear differences that God has created into us as male and female.
Let's get into the matter of the Christian life now. God's made us. We have minds. It seems to me that the Christian life actually begins with a change in the mind, doesn't it? Repentance, which would be a change in the mind. Now, how do we as Christians, how do you personally, let me just ask it very personally, how do you go about developing in your life a Christian mind?
Well, I think of what Paul says in Romans 12, that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and we are not to allow the world to squeeze us into its own mold. The major source from which my mind will be renewed is the scriptures, of course, and I must be continually judging what the world tells me in terms of the straight edge of scripture. You can't tell how crooked you are until you have a straight edge, and that is my straight edge. So I need to be filling my mind with the Word of God and testing everything else by that.
Now, this runs into the question, therefore, should we isolate ourselves from things in the world? Do not listen to the radio. Do not read the newspaper. Do not watch television, for example. You aren't talking about that, obviously.
I certainly don't believe in isolating yourself entirely. I do think we need to be very selective, simply because of time. All truth belongs to God. He is truth, and all truth is His, whether it is acknowledged to be His or not. So I'm not afraid to read all kinds of things and listen to all kinds of things and look at all kinds of things on TV, except that I hardly ever do simply because of the matter of time. As far as TV goes, I think of what Malcolm Muggeridge said about newspapers. He said, they're all lies, so why does anybody read them? And he was in the journalism business for 40 years. He should know, and I think C.S. Lewis resolutely refused to read either magazines or newspapers because, as he said, all that is not eternal is eternally out of date. So in my reading and my thinking, I'm pretty omnivorous, but I'm always looking for the eternal because that's what I want to feed my soul on.
God can speak to us even through a so-called secular source, can't He?
Of course.
Because all truth is God's truth. Gary, what is your process for renewing the mind? Do you have to confront daily people with attitude problems? What is your system?
Again, I think Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are transformed, and that's a process. And for me, it's a daily process. In fact, oftentimes it's a moment-by-moment process. One of my favorite hymns, I remember singing in seminary, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest." And I have to keep my mind stayed upon Jehovah. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And there are a variety of ways to do that. We're in the world, but not of the world. And in the midst of the secular humanism and the issues that we see, fixing our eyes on Jesus through the Word, through prayer, through Christian friends, a variety of ways, I think, are helpful. But the key for me, it's a daily, even moment-by-moment at times process.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.